everybody, and welcome back, and happy Easter to each and every one of you. We hope that you are celebrating with your family, enjoying some yummy food together, but most of all, remembering the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. We are an Easter people, and what an exciting day to celebrate, not just today, but every Sunday. So we wish you a very happy Easter from Faith Together. And we also wanted to let you know that this week's episode is part two of a conversation that we had with some great friends of ours from Olivet. We had Antonio Marshall, Esther Turek, and Simone Twible share with us about serving locally and globally and how that's impacted their faith journey. So we hope you enjoy part two of this conversation. Have a very happy Easter.
So you all have shared a little bit on this already, but maybe you could be a little more specific and maybe more intentional about ways that your serving has impacted your own faith journey, or maybe the faith journey of your family even. I'll let you just, whoever wants to jump in.
You know, for me, I think it's because of what was modeled for me. And so the reason why I said yes to serving locally and globally was because I saw it modeled for me, which is such a huge part of our faith formation. And so for me to say yes to living overseas in China and teaching for a year after college was because there was opportunities that were given to me that made me not question why I would say yes. And so I think what that does when you're taken out of, you know, when you talk about missions even and how that informed my faith, it was such a huge part of me growing in my walk with Christ. And then seeing my parents, the limitations that sometimes we put on ourselves as families, like you said, it wouldn't it be beautiful for families just to be able to go and serve because of what it teaches them? I saw that model. My parents just picked up and said, we're going to take our kids and give them a cultural experience by serving overseas for a whole year. And that then was something that we carried on as a family, that we said, okay, we're not going to be limited by what culture tells us that we have to step into, because we think it's important enough for our children to be able to be a part of this. And so we picked up with a two-year-old and a newborn and went to be a part of a church in Thessaloniki, Greece, you know, for a couple of years. And so I think those things, I've thought, what has that taught my children? But also, what is that continuing to do for my own faith, in that when God says to go and be his hands and feet, it's not always that I have to go far away to do that. It's also teaching my children and myself to continue to remind myself, like, I can do that every day when I go down to the park, and when I walk to the grocery store with my kids, or whatever it is that we do. It continues to form who I am in Christ, but also planting the seeds that our children continue to see in and how we incorporate what they do and how they do it on their daily basis. So I think just for me, that's been a huge part of who I am, because of the fact that I was taught to serve locally and globally.
Yeah, I really like what you said, Esther, because now what you're doing is you're helping your children recognize that there are everyday moments, right? Where we don't have to go somewhere else to be a missionary. We're a missionary by the way we interact with our friends at school.
Exactly.
The way we interact with those who play on the same sports team that I do. You know, all of the things that we do, just the normal day of normal events of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Somebody else want to jump in on that?
Yeah, I think for me, it has been pioneering new ground. So I don't have that background to really rely on in some ways. And so as a father and as a man of faith, really the first one in my family to really take faith seriously, it's pioneering new ground and really learning what that looks like. And so for me, it has been learning the unique ways in which God has designed me in order to join him in what he's already doing, no matter where he is at, no matter where he has me at. And so one of the things that was really important to me as I started to learn more about myself and God, how have you created me to be a part of what you're doing in the world? I started to realize that even before I knew Christ, I had a small gift of shepherding. And before I really could call it the word shepherd, God was building that gift in me as a basketball player, as a point guard. And I was shepherding a team in many ways before I even knew the language shepherd. And then I wanted to be a school teacher. And one of the reasons why I wanted to be a school teacher was because my fourth grade teacher, Mr. Petrie, was the first male teacher that I had. And he used his gift of just love and care, not just to teach me the material that I needed, but to love me well. And so I saw him shepherd me. And that was something that I really wanted to do for my class, and started to realize as I looked back that part of me wanting to be a teacher was because God had gifted me with the ability to shepherd. And then I started to actually learn the word shepherd as I dove into spiritual gifts, became a pastor, and started shepherding flock. But really realizing that the Lord has called me to be a shepherd all of my life. And no matter where he has placed me, on a basketball court, on the sidelines as a coach, in the classroom, and wherever he has me, he's calling me to use those gifts to help serve the mission no matter where he places me.
I really love what you shared there, Tone, and I love the reminder that I hear through both of, through everything you all have shared this morning, is that God moves and invites us in all directions, right? Wherever we are, he meets us right there, and he can use all of it, no matter what's happening, and he is so gracious to partner with us where we are, and it's just opening our eyes to see that, right, Leon? Just finding that perspective to say, okay, God, where do you have me? So, Simone, what about you?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier that when I was 7, I received a call to be a missionary. And originally, I wanted to go, in my mind, as a 7-year-old, I wanted to go to Africa to feed the poor children. That was my vision of what a missionary looked like.
Yeah.
But that never came to pass. And so when I came to study here, I was actually studying to be a counselor. I was a psychology major. And then I graduated with that major. And in my last semester, I felt called to be a pastor. So from being called to be a missionary, I really felt, you know, and then to counseling, I ended up being a pastor for 10 years. And then after that, God really used me during those years as a short-term missionary in Central America. And then I ended up now being a professor. And so I feel like service, it's not always what we think it ought to look like. Callings change, they shift, but wherever the Lord leads us, it's really where he has always wanted us to go. And I think that's the part of where you serve locally, where he's placed you. And then you have the greater vision of his kingdom being expanded all over the world as he even sends those you're impacting that you might not even know you're impacting. And then it kind of goes on through that. I'm hoping that my children will end up in ministry at some point. My son, actually, he's 10. And the other day we were eating at the table and he looked at me and said, "Mom, I think I'm being called to be a pastor." And I said, "Wow, that's wonderful." And I hesitated a little bit because I was, "Lord, he's so gifted, you know, with, he could be a doctor, he could be an engineer." But then God is like, "Simone, like, what better, is there anything better than giving your life away for the service of Christ?" And so I said, "You know what, Lord, you're right." I'm going to leave him in your hands, and whatever call you have placed in his heart, that'll come to pass. So,
yeah. As one of his pastors, I can see the gifting that God has given him. There's no surprise there to me at all when I hear you say that. Now, Simone, you speak Spanish and Portuguese, is that correct?
Yeah.
And so that has opened up some doors for you to, in the Church of the Nazarene, in our denomination, to be, is it translator, is that the right word? Or is it interpreter?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
For church leaders as they've traveled around the world, right?
Yeah. So, they've been doing this since I was in college. So for, I would say the last, not the last 5 years, because I've been busy with other things, but for about 15 years, I served as a translator. That means translating documents in written form. And then I traveled extensively all over the world as an interpreter for some of the larger Global Education Commission meetings. And then the last 5 years, I was actually, I'm a member of that board. And so from being a translator, then they invited me to be a member of the International Course of Study. Council. And so it's been fun to now be working with other translators and interpreters and understand their pain. So, and I'm like, I can relate. Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's very taxing work, but it's such a wonderful opportunity as well to serve God and through that, those kinds of
things. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So clearly we're hearing that God can meet us in all kinds of places at all kinds of times, use anything big, anything small, things that we don't expect, things we do expect. He wants to use that to serve others, to advance his kingdom, to share his love, to invite more and more of his people to the table. And so I want to just ask each of you today, what advice would you give families who feel God's invitation coming closer and closer to them to join him in serving others, whether it's locally here in Kankakee County where we all live, or whether it's around the world in different countries, or we have listeners from around the world and we have listeners all over our country. So maybe they're feeling a pull to serve where they are. What advice would you give families today that feel God pulling them close to do that?
I would say just say yes, you know? Mm. I think there's a lot of things that we think, especially as parents, that we don't have time right now, or it's scary, you know, to think of things that's adding to our already full plate. But I think if we engage in this in a lifestyle practice, we aren't adding something on. We're actually creating something that's a rhythm in our family. That's we talk a lot about rhythms in our families. And so, and when you think of service, I heard this said once and it really stuck with me. It's really taking hold of our faith. And so when I think of what I want for my children, I want them to move from something they just believe in to something that they believe enough to do. And that's something that has stuck with me, that I not just teach this is what Jesus did, but this is what he showed us to do. And so I think when we talk about spiritual activities in our life, service is actually one of those things that compels the love that we have that Jesus asked us to have for others. And then we put it into action. And so I would just say yes, you know, say yes to the opportunities that you have in your local church. Do it together as a family so that it doesn't seem like church volunteering is taking you away as a parent, but they have ownership when they're doing it together with you and your family.
So, yeah, I think sometimes we overcomplicate things. Service, you know, I teach a spiritual formation class to my students, and often I say, okay, what practices form you? And they all say, you know, scripture reading meditation, prayer. Hardly, I don't think I've ever heard the word service as one that shapes them, you know, or like that's the first word that comes to your mind. And I think that is such a critical component of how we grow as Christians, because you can't just like do the intake. You also have to, you know, give out, or then you get stagnant in your faith. And so I feel like service has been such a critical component of how we mature and grow and make Christ-like disciples. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, applying it little by little. We don't have to go, you know, abroad to serve. We can just go and be kind to the person in the, you know, grocery store, begin to talk to them, be appreciative for their work, and begin just there, you know, serving them when they're maybe are burdened, or, you know, their day is full. It's just basically just saying, you know, thank you for all your work you're doing right now. And that is such a way to appreciate even cashiers, you know, at a store, and just being Christ right there where you are.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, it actually is one of our 7 abiding habits at all that I would feel kind of naive to say that. It's very important to us at Olivet that our students are shaped by service. And so we talk about that regularly. For me, I think the advice that I would give someone is, and I think Simone and Esther have said it perfectly, but adopt a perspective that service really is a way of life. And it's so important that we understand that it's not in the big highlighted moments, the serve days. Those are great. The opportunities to serve on Sundays at churches, but it's in the everyday opportunities that we get to serve those. And so I would even stress to parents, maybe even think about how you are serving in your home, What do you, how are your kids seeing that you are serving your spouse? How are your kids seeing that you are serving them, and that it really is a lifestyle, not just an event?
Good. Ooh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So I've been trying to think here if I'm listening to you all, on this podcast, and I'm hearing this and being challenged by it. Maybe I've not really considered this before. Like, how do I get started? I understand the concept that, this should be a lifestyle for me, but how do I start making it a lifestyle? Are there places to start? Are there things that I could do? Can you give me ideas?
I think the starting point, really, in my opinion, I'm sure that there's other opinions out there, but I think it's words. Words have such a meaningful, impactful way of creating opportunities for flourishing, for growth. And our words have such an impact. If we use our words wisely in a positive way that lifts other people up, that's a way in which you create an opportunity now for them to open themselves up and to be lifted up. Sometimes we use harsh words, critical words, words that diminish people. That's not a way to serve. And so just begin there, thinking, how am I using my words to either impact my children, lift them up, encourage them? How am I using my words with coworkers? How am I using words? And I think that's the way you train yourself to begin expressing and explaining what service is.
Wow, I like that. That's good.
I would say open your eyes and pay attention. I think that we get so self-consumed in our daily rhythms of family that sometimes just stopping to pay attention to see how I can step into service. And so that does mean that when I'm so task oriented, which is what a lot of us are, that I would open my eyes to pay attention, because there's opportunities to serve people everywhere that we go. And so when our kids see us paying attention, they start to see, okay, this is just the way that I need to do this. And so I think just opening my eyes and paying attention to what's around is the first step to step into that. And I think it goes back to even the whole premise of this podcast, the Shema, the part of the walking alongside the road with my kids. This is what we're talking about. The walking alongside the road is doing service together intentionally, right?
Absolutely. I think a lot about this time of year, specifically Lent, and all that it means for us as we look towards the cross and towards the resurrection of Jesus. And just to tag on to what you shared, Esther, I think there was a season of Lent a few years ago that I was like, Lord, I want to be intentional with my prayer life. And I was, but I felt the Lord tell me, pray with your eyes open, because I'm at work. Yeah. Like, look around. I'm doing things. I'm showing you new things. You don't need to sit and just meditate on what's in your mind. I'm at work, and I want you to see it. And so it just reminded me of that lesson, and that this time of year specifically, as we look towards Easter and we see the example of Jesus, to open our eyes to see him at work.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think it might be helpful to just gauge your perspective again of servanthood. And so asking yourself some questions, what is your total availability to God to actually be a part of what God is doing? Does he only have your heart, and is he only available to get your attention on a Sunday morning service, or does he have your attention so that you can be available to serve him wherever? Some other questions that I think are important. Do you consider other people's needs before your own, especially in your family? Are you a servant in your own home? How are you caring for the poor, the orphan, those around you? So really developing a perspective, asking yourself some questions, and really maybe that Psalm 139, God, please show me if there's any offensive way in me. Is there any way that I'm thinking about service in ways that are not actually the heart that you have around that?
I love how we've used body parts to express service. I talked about the mouth, words. Esther talked about eyes. And then you talked about heart and how, like, you know, everything kind of goes together and flows, you know, out of the heart, the wellspring of life. And yeah, that's so cool.
It is so cool.
Great insight.
Back to the Shema.
It's good.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. I'm hesitating of telling a story, that kind of goes with this a little bit. Let me tell the story and then we'll see if this fits. So at the beginning of, I would say the week before COVID kicked in and we were all shut down, we had been to Costco and we bought one of those jumbo packs of toilet paper. Not because we knew that COVID was coming, but those don't expire, right? So you just store them in your basement till you need them. And so COVID, we're in the middle of COVID. We're probably a week or so into it. And the toilet paper crisis began. Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're thinking, oh, man, this is awesome. We've got enough to last us a year. And so my wife said, you know what we should do? We should take a plastic bag and put 2 or 3 rolls of toilet paper in each plastic bag with a couple other little things. And I can't remember what the other things were, honestly. And let's just go to our neighbors and hang it on their doorknob and knock on the door and then just say, hope this is helpful for you. And I said to my wife, you're going to make me deliver toilet paper to my neighbors? that I don't know. And so we talked it through and that's what we ended up doing. And it was amazing to me afterwards how significant that was to those people. I mean, it was a couple rolls of toilet paper. And I don't think it was the toilet paper itself. They probably had enough. But it was just the thought of putting someone else before yourself for a moment. And it was a great lesson to me from my wife about the importance of just giving thought to the needs of others.
I love that story. I think that's so true. Just to start somewhere, you know, it doesn't have to be these grand opportunities or ideas. Those things are great, but just starting somewhere, starting with something small where you can connect with those around you.
So as we get ready to close, is there anything in the area of service that you're involved with right now that you're really excited about that you'd like to just share with our audience before we wrap it up?
I'm really excited just about the opportunity that Man on Fire, the organization that I have, that I started really in this area, just getting plugged in and helping right now some local schools to have supplies through the Spark Ministry. But then just training young men and young women around the area and using the game of basketball in particular to create relationships that help to communicate who God is through basketball development.
That's great.
For me, being involved in ministry for so long, often we think about, you know, service in those kinds of contexts. But recently, the Lord has really impressed upon me the need to serve my children, especially during these years. And so just being able to reverse the flow of ministry, people in ministry get so busy serving others and, you know, it's just always focused on other people. And just beginning to serve my children has really been the focus the last couple of years or so.
Amen. No, that's great. Mm-hmm. I like that.
For me, I think just what I get to do at Olivet is sharing the importance of servanthood. And so the excitement comes because I have this opportunity to speak into this next generation of why God asks us to walk this in our daily life. And so we get to do that and serve our community, and then we get to go globally and do that. And so I love that. I have 2 students at Olivet that get to step into that too. And so I think that that opportunity is what excites me, that it's something that hopefully that we are continuing to pass along this faith journey. And I love what Simone said too, because I think too, we think of like phases of life as parents. And I know that there are phases of life that God just asks us to be faithful, to serve where I can and what I can do. And oftentimes that is just in our families. So I think just that excitement of knowing that that does not go unseen. Yeah. It's planting some deep seeds that we get to then send as arrows out into the world when we're planting those seeds in our families.
All 3 of you got me so excited sharing all those things. That is so awesome. And we honor each of you. We thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing so openly and vulnerably. And just, it's a joy to partner with you in this way, specifically today as we share on this episode.
Yeah, so thank you for being with us. And thank you for joining us today as we have challenged you in some ways that we hope will bring fruit into your family and in the lives of your children. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.